This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by kpbilliards.com.
You're listening to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. This happens to be my favorite part of the week because this is the time where it's Seahawks Legends time. A legend, a former Seattle Seahawk from the past, comes on to join the show. And today, do we have a fun one for you? Let's get it going.
Scheme up front, break back to pass, has a look to his left, throws one toward the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks, the largest.
Seahawks Legends.
Let's one fly down the left side.
Behind Zorn, who's back to pass. Has time, looks toward the left sideline, throws a bomb down there. He's got a man in front. He makes the grab. A scramble at the 30, down to the 20. They'll never get him. He scores! Touchdown, Seahawks!
It's Seahawks Legends on Cairo Nights with G. Scott.
Ah! Third-round draft pick out of Clemson. Number 56, former linebacker Leroy Hill joins me. Leroy, what's up, man?
What's good, man? How you been?
I'm good, brother. I'm good out here in the Pacific Northwest. Believe it or not, it is raining. I just want to let you know that. But other than that, man, now I know, if I know you right, I know right now that you are rolling in one of your Cadillacs. Am I right? So what you rolling in, man?
Oh, man, I just got rid of it last year, man. I had another baby, man. I'm doing the family thing now, man. I got me a Denali, so I finally got my first SUV.
Being a family, are you back out there in Georgia still?
Yeah, man. I'm living in Atlanta now, man. I bought me a lot of income properties around the city, man, and I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, man. I just want to talk about, you know, your time with the Seahawks and how memorable that was. Again, you were a third-round pick out of Clemson.
Yep.
Tell us what it was like, man, when you first got here to the city of Seattle.
Oh, man, it was something brand new, man. You know, I was born and raised in the South. So, you know, coming to the Northwest, it was just completely different. But, you know, they embraced me. I embraced it. And years later, you know, living up there in the Northwest, man, it was a blast, and I consider it a second home to this day.
Right. I know I got to see you most recently. You came here when Lofa was raising the 12 flag, and you guys are here. Talk about your relationship with Lofa Tatupu and Julian Peterson, all those guys in that linebacker group.
Oh, man, I mean, that was my group, man. That's who I consider, you know, my main middle linebacker. Even though, you know, I played a year with Bobby and, you know, I played with Dave Hawthorne. So, you know, I played with a lot of guys, but Lofa was my main middle and Julian was my main other outside for, I guess you can say, our glory years. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, man, I mean, we still talk to this day. I hadn't seen Lofa in probably, you know, a couple months or whatever, but, you know, we still talk, we still text to this day, man. That's my boy for life. Julian, we still talk and text to this day, man, and both of them, man, we always hit each other up, man, and, you know, especially come Seahawks games and stuff like that, and just, you know, just talk about the years we played and how everything has changed and, you know, how everything's changed in our life.
Leroy, what I've had a few members now from that 2005 team. As a matter of fact, last year I just had Brad, Sean Locklear. He was on the show.
Sean Locklear, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. He was on. I've talked to Lofa and everybody. I want to get your take on how special it was. What made that 2005 Seahawks team special?
Man, we had so many components that year, man. Again, it was my rookie year in the league, and you know, I was still getting adjusted, I guess, to sort of NFL life, coming out of college, you know, the longer seasons and everything, but and you know, making some money finally. But we were close knit. We was a close knit group. We had an amazing offense that year, with Sean Alexander, winning MVP.
Yep.
Our defense was behind our offense, but we wasn't far behind. You know, we had playmakers across the board. You know, I got to say, you know, myself and Lofa starting as rookies pretty much the whole season, man. You know, that was special to me. But just the chemistry of that team, man, the chemistry of that team, we had the right group of young guys and, I guess, veteran mix, man. We had a good veteran team that led us well. Coach Holmgren was on point that year. And, I mean, it was a special year. I feel we was the best team in the league that year. If I can recall right, we finished 13-3.
Yep.
We was the number one seed, and we couldn't finish the job against a six-seed Pittsburgh who won, what, three road games to make it to the Super Bowl, which is, you know, I think about it to this day, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy that they won that. And you guys, if you guys played them, and I'm not trying to cry over spilled milk, but if you guys played them 10 times that year, you would beat them 9.5 times.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they got one there. Hey, shout out to them for winning that Super Bowl.
I can't say that, man. It hurt me to this day. I ain't gonna lie.
Hold on. Because just so you know, we fans, you know, we like to think, you know, we always talking about the, you know, this happened and didn't get the Super Bowl and what happened. And, you know, we feel a certain type of way, referee calls and all that. But you as a player, you still think about it too, huh?
Of course, man. You know, that was the one Super Bowl I made it to, and I lost. You know, losing a Super Bowl, man, you never sort of get over it. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy part of my career is after my last year, the Seahawks won it. So, you know, I was like, oh, man, you know, my one opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, I end up losing to a six-seed team that I know we were better than. With, you know, some bogus calls and stuff like that. So, you know, and every year around Super Bowl time, of course, they're going to replay all the Super Bowls. And I always tune in and get my heart broke every time, every year.
joined here by Leroy Hill, former Seattle Seahawks linebacker. And speaking of which, I mean, you were here, and I got to tell you, the one thing I like about Seahawks legends and having you guys on is it's always a good thing to appreciate where this organization has come from. And you and others, you guys did a phenomenal job getting the Seahawks to their first ever Super Bowl. But here we are today, like you said, your last year was it 2012 was your last year?
Yeah, my last year was 2012, the year before you guys went back to the Super Bowl.
Right, right. And so tell us what you saw earlier on to maybe see like, the Seahawks team is going to be good in the future.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My last probably 2 or 3 years, I think we finished maybe top 10 in defense. So I knew the defense had started to roll. You know, we had the Cam Chancellors, we had the Richard Shermans. My last year, which was my eighth year in the league, we drafted Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, Bruce Irvin. It was that class. So, you know, I got to see 1 year of Russell, 1 year of Bobby. You know, a rookie Bobby, which he's turned into a phenomenal player. I mean, a absolute monster in the middle. And Russell, of course, you know, no need to speak on, you know, what he's done. But, you know, that defense was, again, top 10, top 5 my last 2-3 years. I could tell that, you know, we were going to be strong on that side. And I knew they could carry the offense however far. And, you know, just happened to be next year that everything blossomed. And, you know, they won the Super Bowl. I knew it was coming, of course. But I don't know if all the fans exactly did, but I mean, it's amazing, everything that organization has done. And I'm super proud of all those guys and the growth of those, that rookie class of my last year.
Well, I want to talk about that because, I mean, just think, I mean, Bobby Wagner, a rookie out of Utah State. Here he is in that linebacker room. He is a rookie. And, man, did you know that after last night's Monday night game, he just set a deal where he's got 7 seasons in a row of 100 or more tackles?
That's impressive, man. That's impressive. Again, his rookie year, you know, we used to get on him. He was a good player, of course. He started for us in the middle. It was me, Bobby, and KJ Wright. He started for us in the middle, and of course, he was a rookie. He went through his rookie problems or whatever, but I knew he was going to be a good player. But I mean, to I can't say that I knew that he was going to be where he was today and the level that he's playing at for, you know, I would say 5-6 years straight now.
Right.
He's a monster. I say it to his face, you know, you're a beast, Brad. You're a beast. You basically, you know, turned over the middle linebacker position in the NFL. I played with, you know, a great myself in Lofa, but Bobby has exceeded all expectations, man, and they hit right on that draft pick.
Leroy, earlier today, I had took to Twitter, and which I seem to do a lot, and I say a lot of things on that Twitter world. And one of the things that I talked about was this. I said this person came back and took over defensive coordinator duties when the Legion of Boom is gone, Mike Bennett is gone, Cliff Averill is gone, KJ has been dealing with an injury kind of a little bit all season long, and yet the Seahawks defense is incredible, but nobody hardly is talking about Ken Norton Jr.
Yep. Ken Norton, man, he was a hell of a coach, man. He was my linebacker coach my last couple years there. He ended up going to the Raiders as a D coord, and you know, it just didn't work out right. Which the Raiders are obviously still having problems. But major shout out to Ken Norton, man. He's a hell of a guy, hell of a coach. To put those pieces together. Again, the Legion of Boom is gone. A lot of those names that everybody know is gone. But, you know, that gives credit to the scheme and I guess the passion that they're running with up there. And I know it starts with Ken. He's a passionate guy, man, and I love playing for him.
Yeah, it just seems like it's interesting that you say that. Love playing for him. And I was talking to Bobby and KJ, and that's some of the things that they talked about. Love playing for him. And I guess what my question is, Leroy, how much a difference does that make? What I mean by that is, look, a lot of these coaches in the league, I would assume that they know X's and O's. But what makes a coach better than another coach?
I mean, you know, obviously, like you say, the X's and O's are the X's and O's. You know, they'll never change. Cover 3 and cover 2 and cover 4, they'll always be the same no matter who coaching them. But, you know, it's the passion, it's the relationships that you have, you know, away from being on the field in between the lines, you know, in the meeting rooms, just all day, you know, traveling together. It's that relationship, you know, and you get to know each other, your families, you get to know each other as a man, and, you know, you start to respect each other, and, you know, you want to go out and you want to play for that person. You want to keep that person around. And I think that's also what makes good teams because, you know, that brotherhood of knowing each other's families, knowing each other's moves, kicking it with each other, you know, in the off season. Those what make good teams because, you know, you want to keep everybody around in a business where there's always turnover.
What do you think that maybe can be done to kind of help some of these young guys, you know, stay away from a little troubles that they could possibly, you know, stay away from?
You know, I had enough troubles myself. So, you know, that's something I can definitely speak on. But, you know, it just comes with the maturity level of each guy. You know, you're going into a whole new world, and I like to call it a fantasy world because you'll be 21, 22, making a couple $100,000. You know, you're now making more than your parents ever made, more than your grandparents ever made. So, you know, it's hard for people, I guess, to speak on it. But, you know, you just have to mature very quick. You have to make the right decisions. You have to realize that a lot of eyes on you, a lot of the wrong people will be around you. And you have to figure out a way to decipher that and make the right decisions. I mean, it's tough. It's easier said than done. But, you know, I think the league, they can continue to implement plans, implement like the rookie symposium to teach these guys that, you know, you're living in a fantasy world. You know, it's at the most probably about 10 years of your life and you'll still be a young guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to make the right decisions as fast as you can. It's the ones that smarten up the fastest that make it a long time in this league. And it's a different world with the social media even kicking in now, you know. I can't imagine if, you know, we had social media when we were playing. You know, it's just a different league and a different era. And these boys need to smarten up and get the right people around them as fast as they can.
Leroy, how was your transition, honestly, from NFL to retired life? Was it hard?
Man, you know, it was sort of tough at first because, you know, I was at that point which I think a lot of guys reach, where this is your first time in your life, I mean your entire life, that you don't have football, you know? So it's you have to sort of figure out your route. You know, you're sort of financially stable, which is amazing, which is great. You know, you appreciate the NFL for that. But you still have to figure out your route in life. It took me probably about a year or two to realize, okay, you know, it's done. It's over with. It was a great chapter. And I'm pretty good at closing chapters and moving on to the next stage, luckily. And but it's been awesome since then, since I accepted that you know, I won't be playing anymore. Now I'm reaching year six that I've been out of the league, and it's been amazing, man. I got time to raise my kids and travel and spend time with my family more. So it's been amazing since I guess closed that chapter. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And man, now how many kids now do you got, Leroy?
Oh man, I have number three on the way. Number three on the way.
Whoa!
I know a 13-year-old. I have a 17-month-old girl, and I have a little boy on the way. So you know, it's amazing, man. I'm so happy.
All right, man. Well, here soon when I get down to the A, man, I'm gonna have to look you up and don't let me catch
come
you.
Come on, man. Come
don't,
on.
Don't let
I'm
me
welcome you with open arms, man.
Don't let me catch you up on these Real Housewives, because I know they be filming all around Atlanta all the time. Don't let me catch you on one of them shows.
Hey, listen, man, Atlanta, they filming everywhere now, man. All the movies are down here, man. Come on down here, man. We'll have a good time.
That's Leroy Hill joining me for Seahawks Legends on Cairo Nights. Coming up next, it'll be time for Stacey Joe. Listen to the Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. You all know this is my favorite time of the night, and it is becoming your favorite time of the night. And it little sounds just a little bit just like this.
Stacey's on. Turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 9:33, she comes in to talk with G. And you know from this song that
Stacey Joe.
G. Scott.
What's happening? You're at the VMAC today. You were at the Seahawks facility. What's going on at the VMAC on a Wednesday?
There's lots of stuff happening for the Seahawks this week. Whoever thought that in week 15, the Seahawks would be able to clinch a playoff spot with a win in San Francisco next week?
Wow, that is kind of huge. Yeah. The fact that they're 8-5, right? No one would have thought that. They're playing above expectations. Everything is so great right now.
It is so great. 90% of things are great. So,
What's the other 10%?
I'm just going to do a quick little 10, just a quick little 10%, and then we'll dive back into the 90.
Okay.
Okay. So the 10% is that head coach Pete Carroll did confirm today that linebacker Michael Kendricks suffered a knee and tibia injury and will land on the injured reserve and have surgery.
Oh.
And I'm going to follow that up. So Austin Calitro, who will likely fill in at that weak side linebacker position, also has four starts with Seattle. He's been playing all season, and I'm sure the linebacker group has a ton of faith in him as well. It sounds like Pete Carroll does. So the Seahawks do have an answer for that game coming up.
Austin Calitro is real. And I'm not just saying that. I had the awesome opportunity to have him in a car for driving with G last week. Loved that dude from the Connecticut area. He was adopted as a kid and just real cool, real smart. You know what I mean? Right now, he's in school for his master's and continuing to play football. He's just grateful, a guy that played on four different teams last year. And he's just happy to just be playing football, man. And he told me that any type of playing out there is just bonus. Any type of opportunity he gets to be out there in the field is bonus. Okay. So the good news is the Seahawks are 8-5 with an opportunity to clinch the playoffs by beating the San Francisco 49ers. The bad news is Michael Kendricks, who has been out for a while with everything with the, you know, the case that was going on, finally comes back last game, gets hurt. Now he's out for the season. That's the bad news.
Right.
But the good news is Austin Kalitro will be his backup and he's going to be starting this week against the Niners.
Yeah, and in all seriousness, Pete Carroll was asked, I believe earlier this week, whether there was a player that's kind of flown under the radar, or sorry, this was last Friday, whether there was a player that's been kind of flying under the radar or someone that didn't maybe get as much credit as he should on defense because Bobby Wagner had such a spectacular game the week before. Pete Carroll mentioned on Austin Kalitro. He said that there was a specific tackle that he did. They practice it all the time in drills. It's a bit of an open field tackle. And he said it was so perfect and such good form that guys on the bench were cheering and Pete Carroll is going to use it in film moving forward. So I don't think there's going to be a substantial drop off. I mean, this is someone who has started four games for the Seahawks. And don't forget that Michael Kendricks, while it's awful, awful news for him and his year just keeps getting worse, and he did perform really well for Seattle when he was on the field, that he was off for pretty much the month of November and the second half of October, and all of that was being filled with Austin Kalitro and a little bit of Barkevious Mingo. So they still have those guys that they can swap in and out. They can get a bit of help kind of loading the front with Bradley McDougald. So they have options.
All right. We're joined here by Stacey Joe Rost here on Cairo Nights. You can always read Stacey Joe on 710 Sports. And of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Stacey Ross. So outside of that type of news, practice was happened today. And of course, they practice tomorrow. Will they travel down to San Francisco on Saturday? Probably.
I would guess. Because Pete Carroll, sometimes Friday is a travel day, but I mean, they're on the West Coast already, so I would assume that would be Saturday.
Okay. All right. So other than that, everything is good, huh?
Yeah. It sounds like KJ Wright, again, is still out. That was kind of to be expected. I think that people now have the thought that if he is going to return this year healthy, it'll be for like a final week of the season or maybe trying to get him in the playoffs if Seattle manages to clinch that spot. So that's not big news. It is disappointing for Wright for sure, but I think that people were anticipating that. And DJ Fluker might also be out. He's got a bit of a better chance than KJ Wright, but it's still sounds like Jordan Simmons will start at that right guard spot, at least right now. He hasn't been, Fluker hasn't been ruled out yet. Pete Carroll said he'd need to see something special from him this week to be able to start him. So to be determined. That'll be something that I'll be able to update you on Friday.
I ain't one to gossip, and you ain't heard it from me.
Don't tell anyone.
No, but I've heard from a few folks that Jordan Simmons is a good player. Like I said, I ain't want to gossip. You ain't heard it from me.
Right, right.
But Jordan Simmons at right guard, from what folks are telling me, don't shoot the messenger, that he is playing really good football and would not be surprised if he continues. Anyways, another piece of news that's out there that, you know, it's kind of under the radar. It seems to be where a lot of Seahawk fans are not really, I mean, you're concerned about the well-being of the player. You don't want them hurt, but it just seems like nobody's is in a panic anymore like they used to be. And what I mean by that is I noticed that Doug Baldwin didn't even suit up for the last game against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And what's up with that? Will Doug be playing? What did they say about Doug Baldwin for this game against the Niners?
So Doug Baldwin is day-to-day right now. It sounds like he has a chance. And again, I think specifically with Doug Baldwin, he wasn't expected to play at all. What was the game before last week? Was that the 49ers again? He wasn't expected to play at all in that game, and managed to make it through with a pretty serious groin injury. So I think he's a player you can't ever really count out. It has to be pretty serious for him to not make it. So, having had that week to rest, not having played last week, he's day-to-day right now. Pete Carroll said he made it through the walkthrough today. Again, that's not an extensive practice, so that's probably also going to be a Friday decision, maybe even a game day decision. So we'll have a bit more info on Friday, and then that decision will be made 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Well, Stacy Jo, tomorrow we need to have one, because usually once a week we have one of our, you know, conversations, our sit downs. And I was thinking tomorrow that we need to do that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's have one of our deep sit down conversations. We'll kind of start it for 9 o'clock and we kind of get to the bottom of things.
Let's do that. All right. Excited.
One more thing. The Seahawks are on the road. Your food. It's not going to be that great this weekend because they're on the road.
I'm upset.
Here's one more thing I was going to tell you. So we were talking, we're eating, and somebody at the table, let me see, get your opinion on this. Somebody at the table said, you know what? I wish they just fed us breakfast every single time up here. What's your thoughts on breakfast up there?
Oh, 500%. Breakfast is my favorite food genre. I would love to eat it all day, every single day.
I know.
And I would love, I think one time, it's rare that I get there early enough to have the breakfast bar, which they sometimes do for like, it's like a 1:25 kickoff, and maybe you get there at like 10:30 or something. But what I would love is a pancake and waffle bar with some choices and spreads. Nutella would be a great one. Varying the fruits a little bit. Get some nice yogurt selection in there. Omelets, breakfast burritos. I'll do a suggestion box. When I head back in, I'll kind of stop by the front desk and I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to bounce this off you. Tell me what you think.
That's Stacy Jo. You can always follow Stacy Jo on Twitter at Stacy Ross. You can read her work on 710 Sports. Stacy, talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, bye.
All right, coming up next, it's time to jump in the hole. It's time for the carpool lane. I am G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. It means the world that you listen to the show, the Online Trading Academy text line. It is 98973. And if you didn't get here all of tonight's show, you got to make sure you could always listen to the podcast. Go to CairoRadio.com. You can go to Cairo Nights, and in that way you can hear the podcast. It'll probably be up in about another 30 minutes. So, but you got to be able to hear that. Tonight we had on at 8 o'clock hour, we had Amanda Knox. She was on the show. We had my guy, Cal Bonner, local kid that's here. He was on the show. And then of course we had, the Seahawks legends, which we have every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We had former Seattle Seahawk Leroy Hill on the show. So if you didn't get a chance, go ahead and go do the podcast so you can make sure you catch up on that. It's time for the carpool lane. The carpool lane is a time where we all jump in and we ride together. And this one here is, I was thinking for those who look at life from more of a spiritual perspective. And you have some of those that are out there. You might look at life from a spiritual perspective. You might have noticed that pressure brings out a lot of spiritual attributes hidden within us. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things. There's patience, there's endurance, there's resilience, power, inner strength. Those things kind of seem to be deep down inside of us. Now, that process would be similar to how pressure is used in converting like weak charcoal into strong diamond. You know, even though I've never had the patience to try to see what that's like, it's also caused by people who choose to grow and those that choose to have faith and belief. Now, when you are in a situation where no other option is available than for either you to wait, to believe and expect like some kind of miraculous breakthrough from like some higher power, then usually it's your faith that kind of gets you with during those times, kind of gets you to hold fast during those times, and it kind of makes you grow stronger within those times. So when challenges and disbeliefs and those things, when they threaten you and you're going through a hard time, then you quickly respond by using faith sort of as an effective tool. Now, in order to pass from a position of like powerlessness and a heightened power, you know, you must first, in these situations, you have to remain calm. You know what they say? Oftentimes when emotion is high, logic is low. So you might have to be careful within making that decision, like a 1 minute after something happens, then being reactive is better to be proactive than to be reactive. Now, once you do not bend or bow to things that get your emotions high, then you won't let these things consume you. So just kind of chill out and stay away from the negativity that you might see around you and more concentrate on the higher power that's within you. And within you is that patience, is that endurance, is that resilience, is that power and that inner strength that happens inside of you. And remember, power is always in close proximity to those who believe, even though you might be under a lot of pressure, even though things might not be good with relationships, with work, with friendships and everything. When you kind of remain within with the power and remain calm, sometimes things kind of just work out. You know what I mean? Like they just kind of work out just a little bit. And then you have the capability of tackling those challenges, both mental challenges and physical challenges, and then you end up making it a habit to maintain positivity while looking and remaining calm. So sometimes when I do this at the end of the night and I talk, I was thinking about something last night when I was driving home, and I'm telling you, sometimes I can't even go to sleep at night, because when I do this carpool lane, it's like some of the things that I really think about after I get to talking for the 3 to 4 minutes. And it means the world that you guys listen. But I hope that sometimes I just may say something that can maybe spark something within you and inside of you. But the tonight's message is more just keeping that, if you have that belief system, and just remember, the number one thing in the world that you can do is believe in yourself. Because sometimes we as people, we sometimes believe in others before we believe in ourselves. And remember, it starts with you. It starts with you believing in yourself and remaining calm and keeping the negativity around you. That way you can maintain, you can keep that patience, the endurance, the resilience, the power in your inner strength. Well, that's my time, everybody. You guys been listening to Cairo Nights. I'm G. Scott. I appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.